Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was going to do.
Program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airwaves and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. Hope and pray that you had a beautiful day on today. Hope and pray that all is well in your family circle. Hallelujah. I just want to take the podium on this evening. I want to take this mic and just thank all of my loyal and faithful listeners that continually to listen and patronize the Old Ship of Zion. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. Overseer Ward is not just saying that, but that is the God honest truth. God said that he blesses a cheerful giver. May it be your talent or your time, God is going to bless you accordingly. So I just wanted to tip my hat off to all of my loyal and faithful listeners that has been a part of the Old Ship of Zion from its infancy up until, hallelujah, where it is right now. And I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you, and God richly bless you. Hallelujah. And also I want to welcome my first-time listeners. I want to welcome my friends. I want to welcome the Kingdom Congressional Assembly. I want to welcome my kinship family. I want to welcome my guests and business colleagues and all of you that are in the audience on this morning. And I just want you to get comfortable, bring your chip, your dip, and whatever you want to sip. Bring your digital devices. I call them my toys because we cannot look like tends to exist without them. So bring all your digital gadgets. Bring your smartphone, your iPhone, and just allow me to minister the divine word of truth unto you on this evening. I have the chat room up available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. So once again, you are tuned in to Blog Talk Radio is the producer, and your program is the Old Ship of Zion. This is a live digital praise and worship church experience. This is not a pre-recording, but this is live. We're coming to you live. Hallelujah. So I want to, now we're going to go into our prayer. We come in and we pray for those that has lost loved ones. May it be a close-knit family, you know, relative or a colleague, friend. May it be a grandchild or granddaughter, or you know, a child will include son or daughter. So may it be your grandson or daughter, or your husband, wife. May it be your butler. May it be your driver, your chauffeur, whoever it is. You know, we just want to let you know that you're not alone in your hour of despair. We want you to know that we are praying for you, and we're praying along with you. Men and women all around this planet Earth, God has handpicked men and women, young and old and in betwixt, that are praying for those that are going through, may it be a trial, may it be a doctor's diagnosis that he has given you, and it's, you know, it's not pleasing unto you. We just want these prayers to go out to you, you, and you. These are not just prayers for the one that has lost. This is geared to them. But if this prayer goes on to whoever is in need of prayer. This is what this is. Prayer do not see any eyes. Prayer just goes where it is needed. You know, it goes where God sent it. So you're included. If you need a prayer and you want to put in and place your prayer petition, if you want to call in at the conclusion of this program and put in your prayer petition, and you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree that God will bring your prayer petition to fruition, you're welcome, and you will be prompted when to call in, as I have first stated, at the conclusion of this program. And so now we're going to move swiftly because we know that time is yet moving along. So we're going to move into our opening prayer. And each time that we approach this podium, this platform that God has given us to be able to congregate across this planet Earth in holiness and in righteousness, hallelujah, we fail not to acknowledge our Lord and Savior and soon coming Messiah. He's our rabbi. And he went away, he said, over 2,000 light years ago. But before he left, he said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. But then he said, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to send you a comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. So God has sent us a comforter, hallelujah, which can keep us if we want to be kept. Only if you want to be kept. God is not going to make you do anything. It's only at your own discretion. The will, you have the will to yea or nay. So it's your curtain call to accept God or deny him. And he said if you deny him on that great day, he's going to deny you before his Father, which is in heaven. All right. So now we're going to go into prayer of this service. And I want to ask all of my beautiful hallelujah listeners out there to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, we know that when you left, you said you went away to prepare a place for us. When you return, you would receive us unto yourself. But I will say, until that time is up on us, Father God, we will continue in your will. We will continue in your way. We won't let a devil in hell, a devil outside, around hell, stop us, hallelujah, from the great commission that you have, hallelujah, implemented before us. And you have charged us to carry out, hallelujah, your word until all the earth. And so, God, we will continue in your will and in your way, mounting up from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lifts of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, hallelujah, with words of wisdom, God. Words of encouragement to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your glory. Father God, we will not take your praise, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And let the temple of God and his people say, amen and amen. All right, so I will be with you until duration. I scheduled for about an hour, I think, and 30 minutes. So I'm well on into my hour and 30 minutes. I'm now an hour and 7 minutes. So we're just going to let God have his way, you know, in our midst tonight. And so we're going to just kind of dig in, and we're going to talk a little bit, too, about what's going on, what has already went on, what has taken place, what has taken center stage. And, you know, I always say that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. I want to say that one more time. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And if you are calling yourself a Christian, a woman, a man of God, then you got to walk in that way. You got to walk like you know you're living a holy and sanctification lifestyle. Not one foot in the world and one foot in the church house, but you have both your foot planted either in the world or in God. You cannot straddle a fence. You cannot have your hand held to the plow and looking back. Because God said in his word that anyone having his hand held to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So you're not even fit to go to heaven if you got your mind still in the world, wishing that you was in the world, wishing that you was doing the same old thing that God has delivered you from. Then God said you are not even fit for the kingdom of God. Because only a reasonable sacrifice will be accepted by God. You know, we want to be holy and then be part of the world. But God said, be ye separated, says the Lord. The old things that you used to do, when God deliver you, change your mindset. You don't have a mind to do those things anymore. Places that you used to go, you don't have a mindset to go to those places anymore. The clothes in which you used to wear, you know, if you used to wear all your bosom out, you know, you'd have all your bottom out. Well, then now you don't have a mind to dress in that fashion. You will close up the things that's not to be seen. If you are a woman and man of God, you cannot say you're a man and woman of God, all your cleavage hanging out, all your butt hanging out. You're deceiving yourself because you're not holy, because God is holy. And he said if you want to call yourself, hallelujah, a man or woman of God, then you have to live the lifestyle. And not only live it, but you're going to have to duplicate what God say do. We can't be, you know, living and doing what we want to do, what the world is doing. But we got to be separated from the world. We're still in the world because this is where we live. This is where we work, we live, and we have our being. But we don't have to do what the world is doing. So, our sermon on this morning entitled, Firm Ground for Stormy Times. I want to say that one more time. My sermon on this morning entitled, Firm Grounds for Stormy Times. And so we're talking about, you know, we're living in a world where, you know, people want to be a friend of the world. How are you going to be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time? The Bible says that darkness and light cannot walk hand in hand. So you cannot walk hand in hand with some. And say you're a woman, a man of God, because you are a liar and the truth is not in you. So the Bible says that if the world hated you, hallelujah, God said then it hated me first. That's coming out of the law of John 15 and 18. He said, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the world is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. He don't care anything about you. He don't care what you have. He don't care what you need. He don't care if you have any food in your pantry, you have any water in your refrigerator, you have any ice cubes in your ice tray. He could care less. He could say you don't need any ice cubes. He could say you don't need any water. You know, just keep on being thirsty. That's all right. You know, you'll make it. He could care less about you and I and us. Because his M.O. is to steal. Steal what? Steal your happiness. Steal your marriage. You know, steal your livelihood. Steal your religion. Steal your joy. Steal your happiness. Rob you of your salvation because he don't want you living for God. He wants you out there in the world so he can kill you, so he can do what he will with you. You know, you'll be under his submission then. But we've got to set up for righteousness and don't be swayed by every wind that comes through. You know, we can't be moved by every wind that comes through to sway us. But we've got to stand on the solid rock of Jesus. Jesus is our firm foundation. So we got to stand. And so I am reminded of last evening that this bakery individual that had a bakery, they say he's an artist. I haven't seen any of his work, but I kind of looked at some of this cake that he was doing. I didn't finish looking at it, so I can't come in on what his cake looked like, but I was told through the radio that he was an artist in his craft of cake, you know, creative. So he's not only a baker, but he is a creative artist of bakery goods. And so this man stood up for not just standing up because he wanted to be ugly, because he wanted to be, you know, to single an individual out, you know. Standing on his faith in God is what he's standing on. He's not standing on nothing else, but he's standing on his faith and his belief in God and what God's word says. So this is what we're doing. So if anybody have any begrudge on the outcome of the judicial ruling on this bakery, this guy that owned the bakery. And like one individual called in the radio station and said that, you know, you could go to any bakery of your choice. You know, if this individual don't want to bake you a cake, then, hey, there's millions, probably hundreds of thousands bakeries in this world in which you can go. But when you got to stand for something, if not, you're going to fall for anything. And if you are to say that you're a woman and man of God, you got to stand on the biceps, the precepts, the principle, the covenant of God, what he has set out already in his 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. You got to stand on God's principles. So the bakery wasn't standing on his set of rules, but he was standing on the covenant of God, his relationship with God. That's what he was standing on. So if anybody have, you know, if you're mad or begrudge this man, then you be mad at God. Go jump on God. He's the one that we are mimicking. He tell us to go preach his word, so that's what we're doing. That's what he's doing. So I said earlier, don't ask me to do nothing that God wouldn't do for you. So God is not going to bake you no rainbow cake. God is not going to do it. If God was walking this earth right today, God would not bake you a cake. He would not bake you no cake of you know, same-sex cakes. That God would not do that. So you cannot ask the servant of God to do what God himself would not do. Hallelujah. So you have to love this man for standing up for God, because that's who he's standing up for. Nobody else but God himself and his belief. And like I said, if we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything. If you're going to stand for God, stand for God. If you're going to stand for the devil, then stand for the devil. But you can't be standing for God today and standing for the devil tomorrow. Standing for God this moment and then standing for the devil the next second. In cahoot with the devil today and then you're saying, oh, how I love Jesus tomorrow. See, because the Bible says you're a hypocrite. But we got to stand up for righteousness. Jesus is soon to come, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, does not make it not so. So you can take it for what it's worth. And I know God has never lied, and he's not going to start lying now, or never shall he start to lie. So God is soon to come. And it's time for us to be about our Father's business. It's time to get your soul right with God. You know, it's time out for Raparoon, Mr. Rogers. It's time to serve God. It's time to be out on the battleground winning souls for Christ. So God will have a bridegroom to come out there, and that's the church. If we don't win souls to Christ, where is the bridegroom that Jesus talks about that he's coming after? That's the only reason we're here. We're here because God has made us for his own use, not for nobody else's use, not for Satan's use, but for God's use. That's use. That's who we are here for. No other reason. Read in his word. The Bible said that you and I and us was bought with a price. And Jesus was the price. He paid the blood price for our sins. The Bible says that Jesus knew any sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. So Jesus didn't do any sinning. We was a sinner. We was a sinner when we disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. That's where sin all come from. From then, from disobedient. And the disobedient come into play when God gave us a choice. And God knew to give us a choice, because if God did not give us a choice, first thing we would have said, well, Jesus could have gave us a choice. You know, God could have gave us a choice to decide which way we want to go. You know, if we want to live for the Lord, if we want to, you know, live for the world, live for Satan, you know. So, amen, you know, you either with God or you're against God. That's the bottom line, your bottom line. Because whatever you're doing today, tomorrow, this next hour, the next moment, the next second, it's already being pre-recorded in the Lamb Book of Life. Get that. Whatever you're doing, whether it's good or bad, is being recorded in God's 66 books. It's being recorded. And everything that you utter negative against God is being recorded. Everything negative that you said against a man or woman of God is being recorded. And you will be judged. Hallelujah. You will be judged. Accordingly, on that great day, when you will stand before the judgment seat of God, and all the world will see, God is going to rewind your life from the beginning of birth till the conclusion of your life. And if you don't die, then God will bring it right where you are at that time. So don't get mad at men and women that want to live for God and do what God said to obey God's commandment. Don't get mad at us because we want to do what God say do. I'm not going to die and go to hell for nobody. I mean, that's for kids, that's for husband, that's for mother and father and whoever else. If I'm going to die and go to hell, you let me die and go to hell for me. But I'm not going to let nobody allow me to lose my salvation just to make them feel good. I'm not going to do that. Because I tell you what, Sodom and Gomorrah, you need to read about them. You'll read the story of how God, angry God, can get. God can get, he can get angry. He's long-suffering, yes he is. He's slow to anger, but God will get mad. I tell you what, you better ask the woman that looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. You better ask the children of Israel when they got the, you know, just making excuses, and after God had been so good to them and had blessed them and took them, you know, they were just out there in the wilderness for 40 years, just roaming around with no sense of direction. And God just put them over there where they could eat, you know, the goodness of Jesus, you know, whatever God had to offer, good manna, I don't know, probably bananas, whatever God had. I don't know what God had. I wasn't there. But you can rest assured God gave them his best. And then when the food shortage come around, they got to complaining and told God, well, you know, you brought us over here to starve us and, you know, kill us or whatever. You know, you should have left us where we were. And God had heard they bickering and bickering and bickering. And then God fed them so, I tell you, God fed them so until the food started coming out, the Bible says, out of their nostrils. I mean, they was fed. You talking about overfill, overkill, whatever. Honey, they was overkill. They was full up to the brim, I tell you that. They was full up to the brim. But God will get mad. God will get mad, and he will show his wrath. So you don't want to see the wrath of God. You want to keep God cool, calm, and collective. That's what you want to do. You don't want to upset God. And so you know, like I said, if you're mad because of the ruling, then you be mad at God. Don't be mad at the man, because he is doing what spiritual that spiritual man inside of him. See, that's that Holy Ghost that living inside of us. And it'll only live inside of us if we're living right. If we are free from sin and debris. The Bible says he will not live in an unclean temple. But if this temple is swept and garnished, then God will come and live and take up residence in our heart and be our Lord and our Savior. You know, and God will not be ashamed to call us his children. You know, we are his adopted children. And we can't act like baby kids and think, you know, that that's all fine and dandy with God, because it's not. Because God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so, you know, we got to stand our ground. Hallelujah. And I know time is yet pressing along, so I'm going to move on. Let me see if I can get my glasses where I can see a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for me, because I just had my eyes checked this last week. This week just left. So I'm needing glasses. I've always needed them, but when they expired, I just didn't feel like going and getting any more. But my eyes told me I better go and get some more, so that's what I'm waiting on them. So now I'm just using these reading glasses. So we know that, hallelujah, despite the promises of security and safety that are beamed daily into our ears, yours, mine, and ours, an amazing amount of restlessness abound you and I in us. Hallelujah, we know that in a large measure, hallelujah, is a striking picture of the spiritual predicament in which a great many find themselves today. Many of us, we feel uprooted and detached, having no sense of direction, while charting a flight through space in the darkness, despair has taken root in so many places. Confusion is widespread, existing in a maze of compelling aims and ideas. We can't seem to find our way back into our proper spiritual homes. We can't find solid ground beneath our feet. See, we're living in a world to where anything goes, you know. If it make a dollar, it makes sense. If it If it don't make a dollar, it don't make sense. So we living in a world where things used to, you know, not matter. It's like anything goes now. You know, anything is acceptable, and hey, I'm all right with that, you know. That's what the people are saying. But see, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Hallelujah. So we know that an existence deeply rooted is in the presence of our God. And if you and I and us, if we want the sure guidance, if we want the deep roots and a firm grounding that will give everlasting meaning to yours and mine and our lives, we must find the beacon that will lead us back to our true and proper spiritual homes. For it is this divine authority for which we must constantly seek. Paul writes about such a beacon in the law of Ephesians. Paul prays for the Ephesians with a compelling urgency that they will sink their root deeply in God's love. And that's what we must do. We must love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. We got to love God just like he loved us. God loved us so until God gave his only begotten son. God didn't have a second son. God didn't have a third, fourth, fifth son. God didn't have two or three daughters. But God had only one son. He sent that one and only son to die out on Calvary Mountain. And they hung him high and they stretched him wide. 39 lashes across his backside. Spear pierced in his side. Crowns of thorns placed upon his head and into his flesh, around his head and in his head. The thorns went into God's flesh. Then they drove a gigantic nail in his right hand, in his left hand. Placed one foot upon the other. Drove a gigantic spike from the top layer to the very last layer of God's flesh. And the Bible says that God died until the sun refused to shine. So if you got a God that loved you and I and us to that extent, he don't want us lost. He don't want us to miss heaven and hell be our destination stop. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? I tell you, my sister and my brother, time is running out. And you don't know when death lies to knock at your door. You said, Overseer Ward, I'll go to church on Sunday and I'll give God my life. I'll get in the prayer line on Sunday, or I'll stand up at my seat and the pastor pray over the congregation. But you know, God lies to knock at your door before Sunday come around. And you that are seven-day advantage that go to church on Saturday, God could knock at your door before Saturday come around. God said now is acceptable time of salvation. So if I was you and I didn't know God in the pardons of my iniquity, I would stop what I was doing and I would kneel. If you're laying, you can, because you don't have to be in a certain position. Because God is a mind reader and he's a heart regulator. So God can read your heart and your mind before your thoughts even come out. God already knows what you're thinking. And you can just acknowledge to God that you have sinned and you're a sinner. You're sorrowful for the things that you have done. And to forgive you of all sin. Accept God as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And find you a good church home. There's a preaching the divine word of God. You don't want nobody that's preaching contrary to God's word. Lying on God and talking about there is no God and God is not coming back. You don't want to be under that kind of illusion ministry, because that person is going to hell. He's going to bust hell wide open because he is lying on God. He took the scripture and he's twisted it. Hallelujah. For his own satisfaction. So get you a good church home, somebody that is telling you the divine word of truth, word to word. Go to the scripture. And if they tell you, give you a scripture reading, and you go to that scripture and it says exactly what they say that it is saying, then you know that that person is a godly man or woman. And that's who you want to be up under. Somebody that's not going to lie to you. Somebody that's not going to pat you on the back and say, do the best you can and can your best. Because canning your best is not going to get you into heaven. You got to live this thing out. You got to live it out. So either you see God face to face or until God call you home. This is what we got to do. There's no ifs, there's no ands, and there's no buts about it. This is God's word. He said it, hey, and I'm standing on the divine word of God. For God I'll live and for God I will die. And you should be that kind of servant. So you will stand for God, since God stood for you. God died for you. God bled for you. God took 39 stripes for you. All of that he took for you, not for himself, but for you and me and us and them. So I would serve God. And to know that I had an everlasting eternity to spend with God, then an everlasting of eternity in hell. And so you say, well, you know, when I'm dead, I'm done. I ain't gonna know I'm in hell. But see, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. We got some witnesses that went to hell. Judas was one, and the rich man was another one that went to hell. The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes. So God is not going to allow the firemen down there to extinguish the fire, to put you out. There will not be any firemen that will be able to come down there and put out that fire that you will be engulfed in. But you will not burn up. So don't let nobody lie to you and tell you you're going to burn up and you're going to be dead, honey, because the Bible says that those that is dead right now, so and those that are dead or asleep, those that are in Christ, that died, that knew Christ, served Christ when they left planet Earth, the Bible says that God, is those that's in Christ, is going to rise first. So the saints is going to rise first. And then the sinners will be next. So you, I don't care if your head was blown off, you had an amputated leg, arm, whatever it is. God going to put all your pieces back in this proper space, proper place. God is going to put it back. You will be whole again because you will stand before the judgment seat of God. Don't let nobody tell you that there's God is not coming back and that's not going to be a rapture. Because that's just an illusion. That's just a flat-out lie. And the one that told that lie is going to answer to God for that lie that he told. He's going to answer to God. But the Bible says that hell don't even have a bottom on it. So God called it the bottomless pit. It's a place of darkness and that gashing of teeth. That's what the Bible describes it. And it says that you will be tumbling and tumbling and tumbling. That means just like if you put clothes in your dryer and, you know, you close the door. And then your clothes is just, you can hear them tumbling around, and, you know, just tumbling and tumbling. And they will continue to tumble until the heated elements dry your clothes, you know. But this fire, I mean, this hell that God talks about, this hell, fire and brimstone, there is no bottom. So that means that you will never get to the bottom. You just keep tumbling. Can you imagine just keep tumbling forever? You know, you're just burning and burn, but you won't even burn up. You will feel this fire. You will feel this fire that you're engulfed in. Nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. I mean, nobody in their right mind. Now, if you're out of your mind, I can understand. But if you're in your rightful mind, nobody in their rightful mind want to go to that place called hell or Hades. And then if Jesus wasn't coming back, then how is we going to be judged? He's going to have to come and judge us. You know that's a lie. You said, I want to see my mother. You know, my mother just gone on. I want to see my father. I want to see my child, my son and my daughter, my nephew, my grandchildren, my grandson or daughter. I want to see my best friend. I want to see my colleague that was so nice to me. You know, he was a saved man, a saved woman, you know. And you, how are you going to see those people? Those people are coming back alive. So don't let nobody deceive you. The Bible says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So don't let nobody twist your mind. You got the Bible. And so you can't lie and say that God, didn't nobody tell me about your word? You know, wasn't no radio that I could, you know, tune in. You know, wasn't no brochures, wasn't no, you know, brochures, or they don't call them brochures, but they call them, I forget what they call them. They got a word, it's an old word. I don't know if they still use that. But anyway, when you're evangelizing, you know, you'd be out on the corner and ministering, you know, in tracts. Yeah, they'd give out tracts. So you say, well, Lord, you know, wasn't nobody giving out any tracts, you know, and my neighbor wouldn't come get me on Sunday and carry me to church. My, you know, Mr. Jones wouldn't come get me, and Sister White, she failed to come pick me up. You know, in that day of judgment, there will be no excuse. God is not going to even be listening to no excuses. You hear me? There will not be any excuses on that day. That's why it behooves you and I and us to know where we're going. To know where we're going when we leave this planet Earth. And like I said, if God don't call us home, then we still got to know where we're going, even when God cracked the cloud and we see him in all of his glory, all of his omnipotent power, all of his beauty. Woo, my God. There's happiness, peace and contentment in serving God. I know you might desire, you know, to have a lot of wealth, be rich and famous or whatever, but you're still rich and famous in God. See, it's not the, you know, the world have their own, you know, definition of riches and who they want to select, you know, to give an award or trophy or whatever to, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award, or Oscar, you know, Medal of Honor, you know, whatever they want to bestow upon you. God has a Medal of Honor as well. And the Bible says that don't lay up your wealth in this world where thieves can break in and steal. Moth can come in and eat at your goods. But lay your wealth up in heaven, because it's not going to be any thieves stumbling around up in heaven. In that gated community, there will be no thieves allowed. There will not be any moth to be eaten at your clothing or your whatever you got. There will not be any moth there in heaven. So God tell us to lay up your treasure in heaven, because no thieves are not going to be tarrying there, and neither is the moth. And only what you and I and us do for God is going to amount to any good thing. The devil don't want you to live for God because he wants to destroy you. He wants you to go where he's going. He know where his demise already. He don't have to go before the judgment seat of God because he already know his fate. He already know where he's going right now. There's no doubt about it. Lucifer already know where he's going. And so he want to get as many, you know, on his train to hell, you know, as he can. He want to get, he said, all he can, come follow me to hell. See, that was a movie that I had. I seen a preview of it, and I longed to see that movie. I said, you know, I want to see this. It's got such a striking title. It's called Drag Me to Hell. That was the name of the movie. And I tell you, woo, that was some movie. You would have to probably, you know, go on Google and Google it and you know, try to get a hold to it so you could see the emphasis of what I was talking about. But see, like I said, Lucifer already know where he's going. And so he don't want you to, you know, miss hell and go to heaven. He wants you to miss heaven and go to hell with him because that's where he's going. Now, see, he already messed up. God done already paid the penalty. God already done paid the price. So Lucifer already know of his end demise, but he want to get as many that can, that he can lure, that he can deceive on his bandwagon to hell. But if I was you, I wouldn't let him carry me to hell. I wouldn't let him deceive me. I wouldn't allow him to lure me into going back out in the world, into the clubs and the Jew joints, in the topless bars and the bottomless bars, back into the world of drugs, booze, whiskey and wine, lying and cheating and stealing and robbing and killing and raping and whatever you did out there. I wouldn't allow, if God has delivered you, you need to stay delivered. Because there's no guarantee that God is going to keep the light on. You know, there's a hotel, I think it's called Motel 6. Motel 6, I believe, or Route 66 or something. But it was an old slogan they used to use, said, we'll keep the light on for you. It was a hotel. They said, we'll keep the light on for you because they knew you would presumably return, you know, if they give you good, you know, you know, if they was good to you, then they knew that you would someday return. And so their slogan was, we'll keep the light on for you. Well, see, you can't say that for God. God is not going to continue to hold a door open for you because you've already been forewarned already. God has already saved you from death, hell, and the grave already. So God do not have to save you again. If he's already saved you once, once is enough. So you already know the times we're living right now. We're living in what the Bible speaks of, perilous times, right now, where people are called evil good and good evil. They're calling wrong right and right wrong. Just the flip side of the coin, you know. That's the kind of society that we're living in. And the Bible speaks about that. God has already forewarned you and I and us. So we should not be alarmed. Because God says, I've already told you of these things. So we have to have our breastplate of righteousness on in order to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the devil is coming like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you got to know if you're standing on those firm grounds in a stormy time. You got to know whose side you're on. You cannot do any trading places. Trading God, having a trade off, trade God off for Satan. The Bible says, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You cannot serve Satan, our adversary, and God at the same time. The Bible says you're going to love one and you're going to despise or hate the other. So I tell you, God loves us. He loves you beyond compare. God love doesn't even have a dimensional number, because God love is everlasting to everlasting. So it's an ongoing love without end. God love you and I and us to the point of death. So I want you to stand for God, stand for righteousness, and God will bless you. Whatever you might be going through, it's nothing that God can't handle. God went through all of these things that he's taken us through. Therefore, he knows firsthand of what we're going through. God been lonely. God been abused. God been rejected. God been spit on. God has been cussed at. God has been spit on. God has been through every single itinerary thing that we are going through right here and right now. We are just duplicating the disciples, the men and women of God time. We're in the new age, and we're going through the same thing that these disciples that are in their graves right now, waiting on God's return. Your mother, your parents, those of you that have loved ones that's gone on, you know that if you want to see these individuals, you can't be living for Satan and say you're going to see your mother, unless your mother wasn't right with God. But if you know without a shadow of a doubt that your mother lived a holy and sanctification lifestyle before men and before God, you know that your mother lived for God in her, in her last hours. You know, she served God down to the last wire. She served God. You know that if you live right, and that's only if you live right. You don't live right, you're not going to see your mother. You're not going to see your father. I'm sorry to tell you. But you're not going to see your mother, your father, those that live holy. And if you didn't live holy, you will not see those individuals. There will be a detachment. There will be a separation. There will be a gulf implemented between you and your loved ones. But in order to go where your loved ones that knew God and lived for God, where they're going to, because God is going to judge us. So no one is in heaven yet, because we have not been judged. The only somebody that I would say would probably be in heaven, or spirit may be in heaven, would probably be an infant, because an infant is holy. An infant don't even have any sin. You know, even if an infant was abused and, killed, it's an angel. And so that angel don't even have to be, don't have to stand before the judgment seat of God. I don't believe. I mean, if you do, show me in the Bible where it's at. But I don't believe that an infant that don't even have sin on their person, and it's just like a child. You will carry your child's sins up until that child becomes the age of 12. And then at the age of 12, the Bible says that that individual knows the do's and the don'ts, the wrongs and the rights. See, my granddaughter has turned 12, and so I'm no longer responsible to carrying her sins. She is now over her own sins. So she knows when she's not telling the truth, she knows that she's telling a lie, So an untold truth is a lie. A story, you can call it a story all day, it's a lie. Oh, she told a story. No, she told a lie. That's what she told. See? But if you want to see that loved one that you love so well, you're going to have to live like God has implemented in his 66 books. So before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged. So your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. Send your remittance. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Warren, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. If you have any prayer petitions that you would want to call in and have the old ship of Zion to touch and agree, now is the time to call in. We call it our studio dial-up prayer and request line. You can call in and we'll be happy, hallelujah, to pray in faith with you that God will bring your prayer petition to fruition. Hallelujah. So we're going to give you a few more minutes to see if anyone call in. If there's no one, so I guess everybody's doing all right, everybody's healthy, nobody needs prayer. Well, that's good. Nobody needs prayer. Everybody's doing all right. Well, hallelujah. Bless his holy name. So I will encourage you to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
You are king. Thank you, Jesus. My daughter wrote this song. It's called Hero. She wrote this song in memory of her grandfather, Bishop Walter Kemp, Sr. Give God a great big hand praise for my daughter, Latrina Walter.
I don't know how, but this time, no, I need you. yeah, yeah.